Good morning.
Good morning.
Thin crowd today. I guess that hour-long message last week ran some people off. I'll have to call John and tell him to. He did a good job. Thinned them out. I need to stop. I'm digging deep. Before I get into the message today, I want to share something with you. I want to share a word with you that the Lord gave me for the church, for someone or everyone here. And Wednesday, I just got alone in my office for a little while and just worshiped. And I asked the Lord for a word for the church. And after a little while, he began to speak, and he took me to a scripture in Jeremiah that says, "The heart is deceitful above all else, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. And then as I kept worshiping in the office, he began to speak a word. And I wrote it down as he gave me the word for the church. And this is the word for the church this morning, today, for some people here. This is God's word. "Listen to the word of the Lord as the Spirit speaks to you. I, the Lord, am searching for your heart. Your heart is my dwelling place, not your mind or your intellect. Your heart is the only place I will dwell. I do not share that place with the enemy, with any person, any idol, or any other thing. Your heart is my dwelling place, and I only come there by invitation. I only leave there when I am replaced by other things." God's word to the church today. God, Father, we thank you. Okay, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 7 today. Now let that word sink in that the Lord gave you. I don't know who it's for. It may be for every one of us here or maybe one person, but that's the Lord, the word that he gave me for today for the church. Matthew chapter 7. Kicking off a series today, and we didn't really advertise it or promote it a whole lot, but by the size of the crowd today, you would have thought I must have. I'm going to preach a series on living the blessed life, and it's a stewardship series. It's a stewardship series, a series on stewardship, stewarding your blessings, stewarding your life with God. Some of you that have been with Heart Cry for a few years have heard the message, heard this series before, but I can tell you it bears hearing again because it's a good reminder. We don't talk a lot about money in this church, but we do talk about it, and unashamedly. Jesus spoke more in the scriptures about money than any other subject, and there was a reason for that. But I'm not just going to speak about money in this series. I'm going to speak about stewardship, and I hope that you'll stick with us, because I believe some of you here are going to hear some things about this teaching from God that you've never heard it in this way before. But let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So, in one word, what's the subject of those two verses? Judging. Most everybody would agree to that. Are there anything in these verses about money? No. Is the word money used in these verses? No. Do we all agree that these two verses are talking about judging? Some of us agree. Not even most of us. But I'll tell you, that's what it's talking about. Now, I want you to just kind of commit to memory the first sentence and the last phrase of this passage. And I'll read it to you again. Judge not that you be not judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, just kind of put that to memory. And turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 37. I'm going to read verse 37 in the last phrase of verse 38. Here we go. Judge not, verse 37, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then the last line or sentence of 38. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, all the theologians and commentaries that I've ever studied agree that this is a parallel passage to Matthew 7, 1 and 2. But in Luke, there's something a little different that we don't see in Matthew. You see, Matthew was a fisherman, okay? Luke was a physician. So obviously the physician was more detailed than the fisherman. Look at these passages again. Verse 37, judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What was the topic of Matthew 7? Judging. What's the topic of Luke here? Judging. Judging. Look at verse 37. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be. Judging. Both passages are speaking of judging. Same subject. Same subject. But in Luke 6:38, we see the word give, which many of you picked up on, and that's good. Give is the verb. You is the implied subject. In other words, in verse 38, when it says give and, it means you give and. You give. It's a subjective pronoun. So what this verse says is, you give, and whatever you give, you'll get more of it back. Then he says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So here's what Jesus is saying. Whatever you give, you're going to get back more. In God's economy. Not in our economy. In God's economy. Think about this. If you sow an apple seed, you don't just get back a seed. You get back a tree with a whole lot of apples, right? Well, some of you understand that concept. You see, with God, you always get back in God's economy more than you give. So Luke 6:38 is a really a great verse of Scripture. But it can also be not so cool of a Scripture because it depends on what you give. Depends on what you give. Looking at the context here, here's what Jesus says. If you give judgment, you'll get it back. Here's the bad part. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You give judgment, you're going to get plenty back. That's the bad part. So with the same measure you give it, in verse 38, you'll get it back. It could be condemnation. It could be forgiveness. You see, the main subject here is judging. But I want to ask you, could it also refer to money? Sure it can. Sure it can. He says, whatever it is, you'll get it back. But here's the issue with 638. Verse 38 here. Many preachers teach 638 as the motive to give instead of the reward of giving. Because there's some other verses that are tied to this. Look at verse 30 there Luke 6. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Verse 30 says, give to everyone who asks of you. Verse 35 also says, if you loan to someone, don't expect it back. You see, Luke here is actually saying, give to give, not to get. Now, I don't know how much Christian TV you watch. At least they still call it that these days. But most of what you'll hear is give so you'll get. Give and you'll get. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. I've listened to some of the junk. That's not what this scripture is saying. Luke's saying give to give. And I wonder, do we understand who implemented giving? God. God implemented giving. The one who doesn't need a thing implemented giving. Why? Why? He didn't implement giving for him. He implemented giving for us. You see, when we get to the place in the body of Christ that we give to give, that we give to build the kingdom, then we're getting close to where he wants us to be. Where we give to build the kingdom and not to get. Listen, that's a work in our heart that God wants to do. It's a work in our heart that God wants to do, that we get to the point where we give to give. Amen. Now, let me surprise you about something. Some of you anyway. God doesn't bless giving. God doesn't bless giving. He blesses giving with the right heart. See, it's all about the heart. He blesses giving with the right heart. If you give because you're selfish or you're greedy, like you hear a lot on TV, or to impress somebody or to get back, that's not God. It's not God. But when you're giving just because you want to help build God's kingdom here on earth, that's what God blesses. It's about the heart. It's a heart issue. Turn back toward the front of your Bibles to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Are you with me? Yes. Hang in there. We're going to get there. This will start to make sense here shortly. Thank you, dear. I'm glad it does already. I was hoping it did. I was wondering for a minute. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren with any of the gates in your land, within any of the gates of your land, which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. There's four things I want us to see this morning. Four things that will enable us to live a blessed life. The first thing that we see here in Deuteronomy is we have to deal with a selfish heart. We have to deal with a selfish heart. It's born into us. It's bred into us. It's in our nature. Look at verse 9 there. Beware, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. And in your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You see, at that time, there was a system in place in which all debts were canceled every 7 years. That was the deal back then when this was written. Wouldn't that be great today? Everybody said, amen. Some of you still are in a fog today. I'll shout in a minute and wake you up, but I'm going to let you slumber for a minute. There was a system in place where all debts were canceled every 7 years. You see, God understands how we think. He was saying here, if someone comes to you with a need, don't even let the thought occur to you, wow, let me see, what's the date? How many years? What year are we in? How close are we to the seventh year? If it's the end of this year, or maybe the next, you know, I'm probably not going to get it back because this dude won't be able to pay it back very fast. You see what he's saying? The selfish heart starts to rationalize why we shouldn't give. Find a reason not to give. God calls that a wicked thought. A wicked thought. He calls selfishness wicked. You know, we're all born selfish. One of the first words a child learns is mine. Mine. Don't have to teach it hardly. Mine. Now, you'd think that we'd grow out of that, but many people never do. Adults still have that mind mentality. So we have to deal with a selfish heart. You see, selfishness tries to make deals with God. Okay? Selfishness tries to make deals with God. And I got to tell you something. God's not buying. He's not buying. Obviously, greed and selfishness are not proper motives for giving. You don't give to get. God wants to change our hearts from greedy, selfish takers into generous givers. That's the heart transformation, from takers to givers. Ask God to direct you in giving and wait for the answer. And when He speaks to you, and He will, don't say, God, was that you? Get behind me, Satan. I'm not giving that. No. When He speaks to you, obey. Amen. Remember, your giving reflects your love for God. So we need to deal with a selfish heart. The second thing we need to deal with is a grieving heart. A grieving heart. Look at verse 10. You shall surely give to him. And your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, in all to which you put your hand to. God blesses us if we do this. You see, selfishness attacks us before we give. Grief attacks us after we give. Have you ever given a significant amount of something to the church and then a few days later, something breaks down? Ever experienced that? You see, and then the devil whispers, I bet you wish you'd kept that money. You sure could use it now. Do you understand why the enemy doesn't want you to give? He doesn't want you to give because when you do, you're stealing from him. You're helping take back what he's been stealing for a long time, souls. You see, when you give to the kingdom, you're helping bring souls into the kingdom. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that. I want to ask you a question. And I want you to think about this question. And I want you to be honest, okay? Don't answer out loud. You answer to yourself. Do you give because you feel like you have to? Or do you give because you want to? Think about that. Think about that for a minute. I need $100. Will someone give me $100? You got $100, Brian? Man, he does have $100. $100. Thanks, brother. Honey, we're going to lunch today. Listen, the reason we grieve over money that we've given or contributed is because we don't have the right perspective. We don't have the right perspective of money. We think it's ours. And the truth is, all the money that we have, anything we have, comes from God. Amen. So when God asks for it, we give it immediately to him. Amen. See, in reality, we're not giving. We're returning. We're just returning some of what's his already. Amen. You see, it's no problem for us to give someone else's money, is it? You don't grieve over that after you give it. It's not yours anyway. So you can give someone else's money away, right? Yeah, it's easy. You don't own it. You see, here's the thing with our money. You don't own it. You just steward it. Now, the reason Brian was so quick to give me $100 is because it wasn't his in the first place. It was mine. I gave it to him before the service and said, I'll ask for it back. I'm glad he didn't leave. To make a point. He didn't hesitate. He didn't have a grief or emotional conflict about, gosh, do I give the pastor $100? Because he knew it wasn't his. Yeah, I'll give it to you. That's the way we need to be with God. It's not mine, God. You ask me for it, I'll give it to you. You direct me where to give it, I'll give it. See, that's the point. When we get the right perspective, understanding that God owns everything, everything we have, then it's easy to give when he asks for it. Amen. So we need to deal with a selfish heart. We have to deal with a grieving heart. And the third thing here, we need to develop a generous heart. God wants us to develop a generous heart. Amen. Look at verse 12 there in Deuteronomy. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year, there's that seventh year, you shall let them go free from you. But not only that, verse 13, and when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally. Liberally means generously. From your flock, from your threshing floor, from your wine press, and from what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. Wow. He says, in the seventh year, when you free your slaves, your workers, don't just send them away empty-handed. Load them up. Give them food. Give them drink. Give them some of your livestock. Give them some of whatever that he's blessed you with. God wants us to develop a generous heart. You see, we're all born selfish. We're all born takers. Take what we can. Take what we can get. And we need to be born again generous. Amen. Givers. Amen. God's people need to get to the place of giving generously. More than just the minimum. And I'm going to talk about it in another message, but the minimum is 10%. God says, 10% is mine, the tithe. That's the minimum. But we need to get to the point where we even do over and above that. See, it's about getting to the place where we're excited about giving to the need and even more. It's about the heart. It's about the attitude of the heart. Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, some people get that backwards. Say, where your heart is, there's your treasure. Your heart follows your treasure. Wherever it goes, it follows your treasure. God knew that. That's why he said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Listen. You invest in something, maybe stock or something like that. You're going to watch it. You're going to follow it and see if it goes up or down. You might even pray over it. I don't know. But you're going to follow that. Here's a fact. This is a fact. If you want your heart in the kingdom, if you want your heart in the kingdom, put your treasure there. Plain and simple. The more treasure you put into something, the more your heart is into it. And this is just a biblical principle. It's a generous heart toward the things of God. Deal with a selfish heart. Deal with a grieving heart. Develop a generous heart. And then the last thing is, develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful heart. Look at verse 15 there in Deuteronomy. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. Why did God instruct the Israelites to remember they had been slaves in Egypt? You see, he wanted their hearts filled with gratitude and appreciation of what he had done for them. You see, gratitude is what produces generosity. When you allow the Lord to remind you of where he brought you from and what he's rescued you out of, you're going to be grateful. Amen. Note he says he commands you to be generous. God says, if you want to know why I want you to be generous, just remember, you were once in slavery. You didn't have freedom, and I redeemed you. I redeemed you. Isn't it interesting today? You know, it's interesting today we think of slavery. When we think of slavery, some think of it historically as in the early history of our country. Some think of it as something that occurs in foreign countries. But I want to submit to you today, slavery today is what Scripture calls digging broken cisterns. Cisterns, digging broken wells, and worshiping false gods. That's slavery. You see, our incentive for giving generously is just that. We remember where God brought us from and what he rescued us out of. We don't give to get. It's that we realize we can never repay God for what he's done in our life. No, he doesn't ask us to pay him back. But he does tell us to be generous. And he tells all of his people to be generous. I want as many people as possible to know the joy that God has placed in my heart. I want as many people as possible to know salvation and freedom from bondage. And I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have salvation and freedom. I know what it's like to be lost and in bondage. And I can't possibly give enough to show how grateful I am to God for what He's done. Worship team, would you come up? Deal with a selfish heart. Deal with a grieving heart. Develop a generous heart. God is seeking the heart because He wants our heart to be grateful as well. You see, when we come to the place where we simply give because we have an unselfish heart of gratitude toward God, we'll be on our way to living a blessed life. It's in His Word. He promises it. You see, God really does want to bless us. He really does want us to live the blessed life so that we can be a blessing. And listen, we all can be a blessing in some way. In some way. Let's pray. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. I want to ask you this morning, does God have your heart? Does God have your heart? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. He already knows the answer to that. So just be honest with yourself. Does God have your heart? Is your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? That's where living a blessed life begins, truly begins. The things we've talked about today is how we live it out. But we have to start with Jesus as Savior and Lord. Does He have your heart today? If He doesn't have your heart, it doesn't matter how much money you throw at Him. It doesn't matter how many things you do for Him. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church. It doesn't matter what you do in the church. None of that matters if He doesn't have your heart. Ask yourself this morning, does God have my heart? And if that answer is no, if that answer is I'm really not sure, that's a no. Because you can be sure when you give your heart to God, you know it. Because a transformation begins to take place that you can't deny or avoid or ignore. So if God doesn't have your heart this morning, I want to encourage you to give Him your heart this morning. Forget about what's going on in your life. Forget about how messed up you may be or how messed up your life may be. Forget about how used or abused you may be. Jesus died for those things. He died for those things. He died for you. And he died so that you could give him your heart. And those things would no longer keep you captive. You could walk in freedom. So if you're here today and you're not sure that God has your heart, I want to encourage you to give him your heart today. Would you do that? The Bible says when God calls you, don't ignore him like the Israelites did. Respond. God's calling some people this morning. If you'd like to give your heart to God this morning, while Christians are praying and others are praying, would you just lift your hand so I can pray with you that you want to give your heart to God this morning? Just right where you are, just lift your hand up so I can pray for you. Anyone else? I want to give my heart to God this morning. Okay, those of you that lifted your hand, look at me. God loves you. He cares about your life. He wants to bless your life. It's not about things. He wants to bless you in your heart. He wants to take away the pain, the hurt, the unforgiveness. He wants to take that away. He wants to heal your heart. He wants you to let him love you, to care about you, to have a relationship with you. And so if you'll be sincere this morning and you'll really give him your heart, he'll receive it. He'll come into your spirit and he'll take up life in you. And you'll begin to notice things differently. You'll begin to look at things differently. You'll begin to get free from things in your life, from bitterness, from anger, from unforgiveness, all those things that control your life. And so I want to ask you to just pray this prayer with me right now. Just look at me and pray this prayer. God, I give you my heart. I believe you died for me. And I want to receive the forgiveness that you have for me right now. I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be whole. I want to be healed. And so I give you my heart by faith. I give you my heart by faith. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your spirit. Take over my life today. Right now, right here. In Jesus' name. Now, those of you that prayed that prayer, it doesn't mean a thing unless you prayed it with your heart. If you prayed it with your heart and you believe it in your heart, I believe the Bible tells us that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. Keep seeking God. Keep asking him to teach you and show you about his love. Start reading the Bible. Doesn't matter how much you understand. You'll understand enough to help you. And take some time to sit and just talk with him. Take some time to be with him every day. Let him speak to your heart. And let me caution you one thing. When you leave here today, the devil's going to try to tell you that you didn't mean what you prayed. He's going to try to whisper you and say nothing happened to you. The Bible calls Satan a liar. In fact, he says he's the father of lies. So stop listening to his lies. When you put your faith in Christ and you give him your heart, it's his. So don't let the devil steal any more from you by lying to you. Many of you have been believing his lies for a long time. That's what's kept you away from Christ. Because he's told you you're not good enough. You're not holy enough. You sin. You're worthless. You're hopeless. Those are lies. Jesus died for you to give you hope, to give you life, to give you health, to give you wholeness, to give you freedom. And so when the devil whispers to you, you speak to him and you tell him, I am a son or daughter of God. I was adopted this morning by God the Father. I'm a son or I'm a daughter of the God Most High. Get away from me in Jesus' name. Speak the name of Jesus, the name that saved you. Let's pray. Ushers, if you'll come forward and prepare. God, we thank you today for all those hearts that have been spoken to by your word and by your spirit. I pray, God, those that raise their hands, that they raise their hand in faith with a true desire to have Jesus Christ as their Savior, to give him their heart today. And I pray, God, you would affirm that in them, that you'd begin to grow that tiny seed of faith in them today, that it would take root in their heart, in their spirit, and their mind. And God, that it would grow and flourish and thrive in this journey we call the Christian faith, the Christian life. God, help them today. Now, pray, Father, that you've spoken to other hearts today in ways that only you know they needed to hear. I pray, God, that we would become generous for your kingdom, generous for the things that you desire us to be generous for, that you would make our hearts generous in love, in faith, in all areas that you teach us. And God, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for these souls that have been given to you this morning. And we thank you in the strong name of Jesus. We pray your blessings over our tithes and our offerings. We pray, God, that they're used to build your kingdom here and now as we wait for Christ to return. In Jesus' name, amen. Heart Cry family and friends, it's offering time.